I invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to 1 John chapter 4, the first six verses today. Essential Christianity, 1 John, because John has been teaching us what is essential to be and to believe to be a real Christian. And now that we've passed the halfway mark and are heading into the last two chapters, I've been wondering what you've been learning. So it's time to play What is the Essence? That's right, this is the game show where we come out and conduct some man-on-the-street interviews to find out what you've been learning through our study on essential Christianity. Speak loudly into the microphone so everybody can hear you. I'm going to come down here into the pews. Why do they call them pews after all this? It's kind of a stinky word, isn't it? So, but it kind of reminds me of Pepe Le Pew. All right, I'm going to come down here and ask you some questions. Raise your hand to be called on, or if no one raises their hand, I'll just shove a mic right into your face. Okay, question number one of what is the essence? What have we learned so far that is essential about God? From chapter one, God is, raise your hand. Stick it in your face. God is, we're going to get there in this next chapter, in chapter four. Now, I've got everybody scared to death now. Okay. God is
light.
God is light. Survey says, ding! That's right. God is light, and in them there is no darkness at all. So, question number two. If we claim we have a relationship with Him who is in the light, then what is essential, what is the essence of what we need to walk in? What do we need to walk in? Question number two. Somebody got their hand up? Okay, we need to walk in brotherly love, yeah. We walk in the truth, yes. And who? What was somebody said back there? Okay, truth, yeah. John said, we must walk in the light as He is in the light. Okay, question number three. Isn't it okay to just talk the talk, right? What is the essence? Is it okay to just talk the talk? Anybody? Who's got a hand? Charlie? No.
Walk the walk.
That's right. We've got to walk the walk. John said, whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. Okay, question number four. What is the essence? What does John teach us that we should not love? Somebody from the back here. Do not love
the world or anything in it.
Do not love the world or anything in it, because the world is passing away. That's right. What is the essence? So if we shouldn't love the world, what should we love? What is the essence of what Christians love? Thomas, who should Christians love?
Love your brothers.
Love your brothers. That's right. And is that just our spiritual brothers? Or are you supposed to love that guy too? He says. Good answer. Good answer. Okay, so question number six. How do we know what love is? First John chapter 3. Somebody. How do we know what love is? Carolyn's got it. I'll be too out of breath to preach a sermon after this.
Love is greater than our heart.
Ooh, okay. God is greater than our heart. Yeah, and you're right on top of something excellent. How do we know what love is? Okay, that's definitely true. What do we learn in 1 John 3, verse 16? That wasn't it? Yes, because He lavished it on us. What does it say? Yeah, go ahead.
Christ laid down His life.
That's right. That's right. That's what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, so we ought to lay down our lives for His brothers. Okay, one last question because I'm running out of breath. What if my heart condemns me? What is the essence of what I should do if my heart rises up and accuses me of not loving enough, of not obeying enough, not walking in the light enough to believe that I am a real Christian? What then?
God is greater than my heart.
God is greater than our hearts. Who are we going to listen to? Your heart or your God? God is greater than our hearts. Good job, team. What is the essence? Last week, John ended chapter 3 by saying, those who obey His commands live in Him and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. And His Spirit is God, and He is greater than our hearts. So we need to listen to Him. Since John introduced this word Spirit, that's where he goes next in chapter 4. John tells us not to give credence to every spirit, but to test the spirits. Test the spirits. Today at the Sunday dinner table, you should ask each other, what was the point of today's message? We've done this the last few weeks. Parents asking kids, and the answer was love your brother. Kids asking parents, the answer was, God is greater than our hearts. Today, the question is, what was the point? And the answer is, test the spirits. Say that with me. Test the spirits. Let's read what John has to say. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God, and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world, and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Would you pray with me? Lord, there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and we know it's the spirit of the Lord. How do we know that? Help us to know why we know it. Help us to grasp this way of testing the spirits, because we need it. You have spoken in your word, and we need this portion of Scripture to be ours. Help us, Lord, to get into it and for it to get into us. Thank you for the essence of Christianity. Help us to grasp it and not let go. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. This passage used to always scare me. Did it ever scare you? This passage used to always scare me because it was about spirits. I kind of thought it was about ghosts or something, or perhaps demonic possession. I've heard some hair-raising stories of exorcisms where the exorcising minister uses 1 John 4 as the way of telling whether or not the spirit that is controlling this person is a demon or not. Do you acknowledge that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? And the demonized person says, no, Jesus has not come in the flesh. Aha, it's a demon. We tested the spirits. Well, maybe. I can see that being a secondary application of this passage. Though I'm pretty sure if someone is demonized to that extent, you don't have to use 1 John 4 to tell what kind of a spirit it is. There'll be lots of other fruit that shows where it comes from. I think that this passage is actually talking mostly, primarily, basically, about teachers, spiritual leaders, spiritual movements, religious groups and organizations, denominations, churches. John is telling his disciples to be careful what spiritual leaders you listen to, because they are all serving, being inspired by, one kind of spirit or another. And not all spirits are equal. There are many people who claim to be spiritual, but that does not mean that they are following the Holy Spirit. And some who even claim to be following the Holy Spirit are not. Listen to 1 John 4, 1 again. Dear friends, do not believe, listen to, give credence to, trust in every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. That because is very important. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. You see what he's saying? There are now many false prophets in the world. Be careful to whom you listen. Don't just listen to anybody who claims to be a teacher. Don't just follow anybody who has the name spiritual leader in front of them. Don't just believe anybody who has the name pastor in front of them, including me. Test the spirits. Test the spirits. What kind of test? Well, there are lots of tests that you could put a spiritual leader through that would be good. And I don't think John is giving the exhaustive list here. He's going to hit on the big one, but he's not saying that this is the only way to test the spirits. Do you remember this list from earlier in our study? Moral, social, doctrinal. Does that look familiar? These are the three essential areas that John keeps circling around in 1 John to keep his readers, to help his readers to know that they're real Christians. So moral is, do they obey? Do you walk in the light? As we said in chapter 1. Social is, do they love? Do they love their spiritual siblings, their brothers and sisters in Christ? Doctrinal is, do they believe the right things? Do they believe the right things theologically? John keeps coming around and hitting those three areas, moral, social, doctrinal. He kind of circles around those areas. And I think they'd be good areas to test any spiritual leader. Does that pastor try to live morally? Does he practice what he preaches? Not perfectly, of course. They may even have major blind spots, but are they headed in generally the right direction? Or are they a hypocrite? Does that supposed spiritual leader love others, especially other Christians, or do they only want others to love them? That's not always easy to tell, but when you can, it's a good test. And what do they believe? That's where John goes here today. It's the doctrinal test of the spirits. It's verse 2. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. Let me shorten it just to say this. Test the spirits, number one. Ask what they say about Jesus. Ask these spirits, the spiritual leader and whatever spirit they're following, what does that spirit say about Jesus? Jesus divides. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, but He also divides with a sword. You are either for Him or against Him. There is no other category. I remember a few years ago when we had Wade Nolan as our Wild Game Dinner speaker. Remember Wade Nolan? And he said that many men try to sit on the fence between following Christ and not following Christ. And then Wade said, guys, there is no fence. There's no fence. You're either for Him or against Him. There is no fence. John says, this is how you recognize the Spirit of God. Want to know if this spiritual leader is worth following or not? Every spirit that acknowledges Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. There's no fence. Apparently, John was dealing with a specific kind of false teaching, with false teachers who claimed that Jesus Christ was not God in the flesh. They were denying what we call the incarnation. These teachers might have gone so far as to say that Jesus was divine in some way, but not God in the flesh. They could not have sung, "Hark the herald angels sing," and believed it. Maybe the Spirit of God came on the man Jesus, but then He left Him. That's been a popular theory through the years. But not veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Not the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Or chapter 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the Word of life. Jesus. What do they say about Jesus? Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Now, you could, theoretically, confess that Jesus has come in the flesh and still not be a spiritual leader worth following. Okay? Especially if you don't obey Jesus and don't love your brother. I don't think that the three tests are one and not the other two. It's all three. And especially if you believe other really wrong stuff about Jesus. But if you deny who Jesus is, then you're not worth following. not worth trusting, not worth believing in. Test the spirits. Ask, what do they say about Jesus? I've noticed a lot of people are spiritual. They want to be what I call godlians. Sure, I believe in God. What God? What do they say about who Jesus is? This is true today. Let me give you two examples. Hopefully they're not too controversial, but I'm going to use them. Let's start with the Dalai Lama this morning. I assume that's an easy one, but these days you don't really know. The Dalai Lama claims to be a spiritual leader. Millions follow him. What does the Dalai Lama say about Jesus? Now, I don't know everything he said. I haven't spent that much time researching him. But he has claimed to read the New Testament and to be inspired by Jesus' compassion. At the same time, he does not believe that Jesus is God come in the flesh. He is a Buddhist. And Buddhists, by definition, do not believe in the incarnation. He has said that all faiths lead in the same direction. Many faiths, one truth, he says. This is how you recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. How about Oprah Winfrey? Oprah has long claimed to be a Christian. I remember going and watching a taping of her show once. It was very interesting. I lived in Chicago, and her studio was just down the road, and a bunch of us students from Moody went down to go watch Oprah. And she often had Christian recording artists on her show, and she claimed to be a Christian. Normally, if someone says they're a Christian, then I should begin by leaning into believing them. I want them to be a Christian, so I will start with hoping that they are. Does Oprah teach spirituality? She certainly does. And millions listen to her. What does she say about Jesus? Well, she gives Jesus some credit, but she also gives credence to all kinds of other false spiritualities as well. And she says this, quote, "What I believe is that Jesus came to show us Christ consciousness, that Jesus came to show us the way of the heart, and that what Jesus was saying, that to show us the higher consciousness." Oprah was behind the teacher Eckhart Tolle, who said, "Was Jesus the Son of God? Yes, but so are you. You just haven't realized it yet." Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. We could go on with examples this morning. We could throw out names. We could examine claims. But the point is clear. Ask what they say about Jesus, because it's all about Jesus. Just because they claim to have some wisdom, some insight, some power, some spirit, doesn't mean they're worth trusting. Be careful. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Next words. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. Remember that word Antichrist, or against Christ, that we learned about in chapter 2? Jesus predicted those who would teach against Him. And we know that we are in the last hour now, because Antichrists have already been unleashed on the world. That's what John said happened in the first century. And it's only gotten worse. And it's only going to get even worse. But do not fear. Number two, remember your victory in Christ. Remember your victory in Christ. Verse 4, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." That's an awesome verse. Many of us have the last half of that verse memorized. But the first half is really good too, isn't it? John thinks that his readers might be discouraged by all this test the spirits talk. Test the spirits. All this Antichrist stuff. Antichrist. So he encourages them. "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them." Who's the them? Antichrist. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. You have overcome the Antichrists because you have believed the gospel. And you have received Christ. And now the Holy Spirit lives in you, he's saying. And he is so much greater than the Spirit who is at work in the world. Remember your victory in Christ. That word overcome in verse 4 is the same word we saw in chapter 2. When he said, I write to you young men because you have overcome the evil one. Do you think of yourself as having overcome the evil one? As having overcome the spirit of Antichrist? That's what John is saying about you. It's the Greek word nikaiao, where we get that word Nike from, of the tennis shoes. Victory! Victory in Jesus, in every instrument you can imagine. Overcoming. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, not because you're great, but because the one who is in you, Christ, is greater than the one who's in the world. So don't worry. Be vigilant. Be careful. Test the spirits. But if you belong to Christ, don't be afraid. You're on the winning side. Just stick with Christ. Hold fast to Jesus. He is so much greater than the one who is in the world. Keep listening to God in His Word. That's point number 3 this morning and last. Keep listening to God in His Word. Look at verse 5. They, the against Christs, the false prophets, the false spiritual leaders, are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world. And the world listens to them. It only makes sense. They say what the world wants to hear. That's why the Dalai Lama is so popular. Verse 6. We are from God. And whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Test the spirits. How can you tell who has the spirit of truth and who has the spirit of falsehood? It's by whom you listen to. Verse 6 again. We are not from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Now, if I said that, you should be calling the boys from Bellevue to give me one of those white jackets with, you know, no hands out in the sleeves, you know, a straight jacket. I'd be crazy. I am from God. Whoever listens to Pastor Matt listens to God. And whoever does not listen to Pastor Matt does not listen to God. That's crazy talk. But John is speaking not as just himself, but as an authorized representative of Jesus Christ, an apostle, handpicked by Jesus and authorized to speak in His place. And what John writes here is Holy Scripture, God's Word. We are from God, John says. And whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. So, keep listening to God in His holy, inspired, apostolically authored Word. Test the spirits by testing them against this. This is the yardstick that everything has to measure up to. You've heard me say this before. I'm going to say it again. Test everything that I say by this word. If I begin to veer off, then get rid of me. But don't get rid of this. Test the spirits of every other pastor or leader or spiritual authority that comes along by this word. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Ask what they say about Jesus, because it's all about Him and there is no fence. Remember your victory in Christ. Don't be scared as you test the spirits. The one who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And because of that, you've overcome. And keep listening to God in His Word, because those who know God listen to Him in these pages, test the spirits.